If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Open Phones Friday in session at 8:40 on a Friday morning. Chris Walton off the remainder of this week, which is...
It should be the next 90 minutes.
90 minutes. And David Allen is taking his place. Anything on your mind today, give us a call, 336-3700. We have a call already, Betty from Weezer. Betty, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Well, I just tuned in a little bit ago, so I missed what SBCD stands for. And how you contact him.
Was that Channel 2 TV that you were watching?
No, I'm listening to the radio.
We didn't say anything about that this morning. Well,
what was it?
SBCD, we didn't say anything about that.
I don't remember it either.
Okay, sorry, thanks.
Sorry, Betty. Huh.
Business
CDs?
I guess.
I don't know. Okay.
Thousands of Americans.
What?
Thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
From across the four adult generations. Silent generation, which is 25 to 45. Baby boomers, Gen X, and the millennials were asked by Pew Research to list the moments that had the biggest influence on the U.S. in their lifetimes.
On the U.S.
Okay. On the U.S. So they're talking about the most significant historic event in living U.S. history. And while those generations might not agree on much, that music's too loud. Get off my lawn. They were unanimous in their selection of the September 11th, 2001 attacks in top place.
Yeah, and Todd, who's considerably younger than us, is nodding his head. With me, there were two, as you mentioned earlier.
Yep.
The Kennedy assassination and 9/11, of course.
The results were divided into the four living adult generations, the silent greatest generation, baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials. All four put 9/11 in first place, but they differed in other areas. So millennials, September 11th, 2001 is number one. I'll skip top five.
Okay.
Obama's election in 2008 was number two.
It's big for millennials. Big for everybody.
Afghanistan, Iraq wars, number three, which would be big for millennials because they're the ones who were fighting it.
No question.
Gay marriage legalized in 2015 was number four. And the tech revolution was number five.
Yeah.
For Gen X, September 11th, number one. Obama's election, number two. The Berlin Wall falls in 1989 was number three.
I have a piece of the Berlin Wall.
Do you?
Yeah.
The tech revolution was number four. And the Afghanistan-Iraq wars was number five.
Okay.
Baby boomers, September 11th, number one. JFK assassination was number two.
Yep.
The Vietnam War was number three. Obama's election was number four, and the Apollo 11 moon landing was number five.
I remember that, too.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
And for the silent generation, September 11th, number one. Second World War was number two. JFK assassination, number three. Vietnam War, number four. And the Apollo 11 moon landing, number five.
See, that would be in my wheelhouse.
Yep. Yeah, whereas I'm the baby boomer.
Yeah, baby boomer.
I'm a baby boomer.
So pretty close.
Yeah, because the JFK assassination, while it happened in my lifetime, I was only 18 months old.
People don't
but
understand.
It's still motivated.
All right, read my five again.
September 11th.
Of course.
Second World War in 1939, obviously starting. JFK assassination in 63.
Yep.
Vietnam War starting in 55. And the Apollo 11 moon landing in 69.
Yeah. All of those huge influence on my life. World War II, of course, I was very young.
Yeah.
But I can still remember, I basically remember the end of the war more than anything else with the parades and bombs and stuff
sure.
going down Main Street of your small town and cool things like that. The moon landing, it's hard to overstate the importance of the moon landing to people who were alive in 1969. It was absolutely... Well, otherworldly, and it was so unique, and the entire country, if not the world, was transfixed on it. It was really cool.
Well, and it's especially hard to get millennials and maybe some baby boomers to get it because all they've known maybe is the shuttle.
Yeah.
To where they go up, Travel around, fix something, come back home.
Yeah, and you're up there for 6-8 months.
Yeah.
What's a big deal?
Yeah, and landing on the moon is something that was done long time ago.
Yeah.
And those guys are dead.
And now the space race is just obscenely embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, because I was 7 when that happened.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad getting me up so we could watch it on TV.
Oh, yeah?
You know, it's this grainy, crazy-ass picture, but...
Yeah, I remember my cousin was staying with us, and she was a couple of years younger than me, and we got up, like you say, early in the morning and just watched that stuff and went, can you believe this?
Yeah, we were living in Klamath Falls, and I thought to myself, by the time I'm 55 almost... There's certainly going to be people living on the moon, not like regular people, but maybe scientists living on the moon.
Nope.
And now there's nothing. It's a big bag of nothing.
Nothing.
8:51 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Paul J. Schneider here with you. HG and McCall sends us an instant message. The events that are most influencing my life, number one, Trump's election, because this may change many of the events of the past that are important to bring back some of what we needed, for instance.
Too soon for that, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think distance and time. Tells you everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Some things, I mean, 9/11, you knew was going to be, that's it. You know, that was going to be the deal.
That's very true.
World War II, Pearl Harbor, important for my generation, war in general, and our part in world conflicts, man on the moon, putting us in space and continuing our important part in this now. 9/11, addressing the new threat to the country. Hopefully Trump's administration can correct problems and bring what is important to the forefront and the bigly, fix the economic problems our government has. I put the bigly in there, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, you know, he's looking for hope.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Hey, earlier in the week, they're talking about job growth and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we talk about that, people always try to call in and muddy the waters with a bunch of stuff. The deal is the unemployment rate is figured the same way it's been figured for the past 40 years. That hasn't changed. So at 4.9%, that's comparative. And it doesn't matter how many people we have because it's a percentage. That number that came out of 180,000 jobs being created last week, that isn't the highest since 2007. We've had months of 250,000. And then the other thing they
I think the conservatives say that unemployment figures of 4.9 do not count people who have stopped work looking for work.
Well, I know. I'm going to get that. Yeah, they had to try to find a reason to take it away from Obama, but it's been figured the same way, since the Reagan administration.
I got you. All right.
If they didn't figure it now, they didn't figure it back then.
Gotcha.
Another thing they bring up is this labor participation rate. That's everybody from 18 above, unless you're in prison, you know, so that's disabled people, retired people. You did a story about that woman in Arizona that was 109.
Yeah, 107, I think, yeah.
Oh, well, she's considered, according to them, she should be getting a job. She's considered in that number. It's the percentage of people in this country that are working, except for the people that are in prison. You know, I mean, retired, disabled, high school kids that are over 18, you know. They try to throw that number in so they won't give Obama credit. But I'll tell you one thing: in about 2 months, they're gonna quit talking about the labor participation rate.
What's really ironic about that is that folks in prison are working a lot. If they counted them, because you know they're all working, they're either working in the laundry shop or they're working in the commissary or they're working in the
making license plates.
Folks in prison work all the time.
I'm not sure if they're I don't think they count because they don't really get paid much. I don't know.
Maybe that's true. Quarter a day. That's a good point. Quarter a day, not really going to do it.
Maybe if they're getting paid, they do, because it's probably based on taxes. So if their taxes are getting taken,
sure,
they show up.
Sure.
But I mean, so nothing. You know, in a couple of months, they're going to quit talking about the labor participation rate. I'll guarantee you, and they're just going to go straight unemployment figures.
Yeah.
Because it'll benefit them at that time.
Yeah.
Right.
Good stuff. Thanks. You know, he's probably right. And also, the Democrats will find some number in the labor statistics to carp about, because it's politics.
What's that old phrase?
Politics.
There's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yep.
So, you can look at anything and you can say, oh, our TV show's number one. And then they go, well, who is that? Well, that's people between the ages of 18 and 21 who live in states north of the Mason-Dixon line who happen to be watching TV sitting on their couch. We're number one with that group, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how small the piece of the pie is. Yeah. We've got a piece of the pie.
It's like Golden Girls, number one with adults, 70 to 90 years
old. Exactly. It's like, well, that's not really a demo you're shooting for.
Well, they got
unless
money.
They got money. Yes, they do. Some of them do. 35, 64. Yeah. Disposable money. They're just sitting around sitting on piles of it.
Yeah, it is funny. And now in the radio ratings, they have gone and stopped you from saying you're number one if you're just number one in a
The only people who can say that are people who are number one, 12 plus.
12 plus.
That's it.
Which is an overall rating. Yeah.
So just to let you know.
We're number one.
We're number one.
That's where I was going there.
I'm good with that.
KBOI News Time on number one, 670 KBOI, 856. We're going to take a break for an update, and then we'll get a local update and tell you how bad the snow and traffic is. And then we'll be back with more on Open Phones Friday.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, it is an Open Phones Friday. Ran across this interesting article.
All right.
And yet, when you run across interesting articles, it's from Harlan Hotchkiss. Do you know him?
I do not.
Me neither.
All right.
In 1998, Kodak had 170,000 employees and sold 85% of all photo paper worldwide.
Okay.
You know where I'm going here. Within just a few years, their business model disappeared and they went bankrupt. What happened to Kodak will happen to a lot of industries in the next 10 years, and most people won't see it coming. Who thought in 1998 that 3 years later you'd never take pictures on film again? When's the last time you used film?
Ooh, I can't tell you the last time I used film.
Long time. Yet digital cameras were invented in 1975.
Wow.
The first ones had 10,000 pixels, but followed Moore's laws, so as with all exponential technologies, they were a disappointment for a long time because nobody worked on them.
Yeah.
Became way superior and got mainstream in only a few short years, which will now happen with artificial intelligence, health, autonomous and electric cars, education, 3D printing, agriculture, and jobs. Welcome to the fourth industrial revolution, the exponential age.
Hmm.
Are you with me?
I think I might be.
Software will disrupt most traditional industries in the next 5 to 10 years. We've seen it happening already.
Sure.
Uber is just a software tool. They don't own any cars and are now the biggest taxi company in the world. And that's the thing now. You don't have inventory. You don't have inventory unless you need it. Then you use it. Then you don't have it again. Airbnb is now the biggest hotel company in the world, although they don't own any hotels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence. Computers become exponentially better in understanding the world. This year, a computer beat the best Go player in the world 10 years earlier than expected. And nobody argues anymore.
No.
Who hit that home run in 1960 to beat the Yankees? A Pirates guy, Bill, somebody, what?
Boom.
Yeah.
Mazeroski.
Yeah, you know it's Mazeroski.
Yeah, but all you have to do is Google it.
I know it's Mazeroski, but if you don't, you Google it.
Yep.
Oh, Mazeroski, rats. In the U.S., young lawyers already don't get jobs. Because of IBM, you can get legal advice so far for more or less basic stuff within seconds. With 90% accuracy compared to 70% accuracy when done by humans. So if you have a divorce problem or a lawyer problem or your neighbor's suing you because you accidentally cut down one of their trees, you can get lawyer advice
sure.
on the internet for free. Watson is the name of the lawyer thing. It already helps nurses diagnosing cancer 4 times more accurate than human nurses. Facebook now has a pattern recognition software that can recognize faces better than humans. In 2030, computers will become more intelligent than humans. Autonomous cars.
Never.
Not for me.
Not for me. No
How
way.
About you? How about Todd? Just nod your head. See?
That's crazy.
For Todd, because he's of a different generation.
Of a generation who doesn't mind dying behind the wheel of an autonomous car.
We need to be in control. In 2018, the first self-driving cars will appear for the public. Around 2020, the complete industry will start to be disrupted. You don't want to own a car anymore. You'll call a car with your phone. It'll show up at your house and drive you to work. You will not need to park it. You only pay for the driven distance and can be productive while driving or riding. Our kids will never get a driver's license and will never own a car. Do you believe that?
No, I do not. I do not. Because you remember a few years ago, electric cars were going to be the thing, and everybody was making an electric car because nobody wanted to pay $4 for gas and nobody wanted to do that. And they wanted to clean up the environment and we were going to carpool and everything was going to be great.
And there was a guy with the English driving cap who bought
yep.
the first Prius.
Yep. And now, are they even making Prius anymore?
Yeah.
Do they?
They're on rental cars now. I rented one
yeah,
the other day.
But most people don't care. I don't care if gas is $5 a gallon. I'm going to drive my gasoline-powered car.
Because you want to be in control
yeah.
of something in your life.
There's nothing I hate worse. I've never wanted to carpool with people because I didn't want to.
Talk to them.
Well, that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to stand there and wait and think I'm going to be late for work because Jack from down the street is
yeah.
late. He's always late getting me and I'm always late for work. He doesn't give a damn what time he gets there, but I'm always getting my ass chewed every day because I'm late for work because yeah. of this dork.
And we can't be late for work.
It's, no,
it doesn't work here.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. All right. So you don't believe that. Not owning cars will change the cities because we'll need 90 to 95% fewer cars.
Now.
90 to 95% fewer cars.
Here's my exception to my answer of I don't believe that'll happen. In the inner cities, that's exactly right. If I moved to New York City or Chicago, I'd sell my car.
Yeah, you never rent a car when you go to Chicago.
Because public transportation is so awesome.
Bingo.
But out in the West, you need your car unless you're in L.A.
Yeah.
But even in L.A. you probably do because it's so spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm living in Chicago or New York or Philly or Boston, I'd never own a car because parking spaces are $1 million. You can't find them. They're like gold
yeah.
and unicorns. But so I would ride public transportation everywhere in those cities. But out here, I'm always going to need my car.
All
always.
Right. So we'll need 90 to 95% fewer cars. We can transform former parking spaces into parks. 1.2 million people die each year in car accidents worldwide. We will now have one accident every 60,000 miles with autonomous driving that will drop to one accident in 6 million miles. That will save 1 million lives a year. Okay, I think that's a stretch.
Well, here's the thing. Do we want to do that? There's already 7 billion people on the planet already. Do we need 10 billion people on the planet because nobody's dying in car crashes? There's a certain balance that has to be had in the world.
Probably globally. Not a lot of people in Bangladesh drive.
Probably not.
In car wrecks.
Probably not.
All right, more good news. Since we'll need 90 to 95%
sure.
fewer cars, most car companies will become bankrupt. Traditional car companies try the evolutionary approach and just build a better car, while tech companies, Tesla, Apple, Google, will do the revolutionary approach and basically build a computer on wheels. Engineers from Volkswagen and Audi are already completely terrified of Tesla. We'll be back and talk about real estate, insurance, electric cars, solar energy. But first, let's pause for these words. It's 9:14. talking about the future, how things will change. It all started with Kodak. We're moving on from there. Insurance companies will have massive trouble. David?
Did you do the code word?
The code word is insurance companies will have massive trouble.
I could have sworn it was snow.
Oh, was it snow?
Yeah, we decided to go with snow.
Oh, the rewards code is snow.
Yes.
Go to 670kboy.com, enter snow, and win today's 5,000 rewards points.
Nice.
Now, insurance companies will have massive trouble because without accidents. Because the cars are down.
Yeah.
Okay. Without accidents, insurance will become 100 times cheaper. Their car insurance business model will disappear. Real estate will change because if you can work while you commute, people will move further away to live in a more beautiful neighborhood. Are they starting to stretch this thing here?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Electric cars will become mainstream about 2020. Cities will be less noisy because all new cars will run on electricity. Electricity will become incredibly cheap and clean. Solar production has been on an exponential curve for 30 years, but now you can see the burgeoning impact. That is a stretch.
Yeah.
Last year, more solar energy was installed worldwide than fossil. Energy companies are desperately trying to limit access to the grid to prevent competition from home solar installations. But that can't last. Technology will take care of that strategy. Well, they're going to have to find different ways for price points, and they're also going
exactly.
to have to find different ways to make home solar things more productive.
Yep.
Because now you pay a lot of money for a little electricity.
Not a whole lot of ROI on that.
Yeah. With cheap electricity comes cheap and abundant water. Desalination of salt water now only needs 2 kilowatts per cubic meter, or about 25 cents. We don't have scarce water in most places. We only have scarce drinking water. Imagine what will be possible if anyone can have as much clean water as he wants. This guy's getting Pollyanna on us. Health. The Tricorder X Prize will be announced this year. There are companies who will build a medical device called the Tricorder. That's Star Trek, right?
I was going to say, that's a cool Star Trek thing.
That works with your phone, which takes your retina scan, your blood sample, and you breathe into it.
That's weird.
It then analyzes 54 biomarkers that will identify nearly any disease. It will be cheap, so in a few years, everyone on this planet will have access to world-class medical analysis nearly for free. Goodbye, medical establishment. Do you see any jobs left?
No, they're doing everything to where there's no jobs, and I don't know how you're going to have an economy where you're not making any money or spending any money. It's ridiculous.
I agree. 3D printing. The price of the cheapest 3D printer came down from $18,000 to $400 within the last 10 years. In the same time, it became 100 times faster. All major shoe companies have already started 3D printing shoes. So you could print your own shoes. That'd be cool.
That's pretty cool. I mean, there are some good things for the 3D printer.
Some spare airplane parts are already 3D printed in remote airports.
I don't know that I want to get on an airplane that's got 3D printed parts on it.
Because they're made out of what?
Plastic, aren't they?
Plastic, I think, yeah.
I don't want to get on a plane that's put together with plastic.
Plastic plane? The space station now has a printer that eliminates the need for spare parts. At the end of this year, new smartphones will have 3D scanning possibilities. You can then 3D scan your feet and print your perfect shoes at home. Now we're putting cobblers out of business.
Yeah, that's... Technology's okay, but I just don't know that it's ever going to go that far.
Yeah.
I think human interaction, and that's part of the blowback you get from quote-unquote social media, is that it has nothing at all to do with being social. And, I mean, there was a situation here where BK just a couple of weeks ago had a no phones from 10A to 3P in high school.
Really?
So the people that actually have to talk to one another. And
how will they print their shoes?
Most of the kids were freaking out, wondering how they were going to get through their day without having their face in a phone.
I mean, they're obsessed. You're right.
Yeah.
They're obsessed.
So I just don't see that happening. I think people still want to talk to people at the end of the day. Not always, but a lot of times. And to get stuff done, you have to talk to people sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't just get it from your phone or from a droid or from an app.
Right. In China, though, they did 3D print and build a complete six-story office building.
Would you work in that?
It's plastic.
Yeah.
By 2027, 10% of everything that's being produced will be 3D printed. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with your phone calls after this. Paul Jay and David Allen on an Open Phones Friday. Glad to have you along this morning. We have lots of callers on the phone. Let's go to Bill in Boise. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to follow up on your co-host's comment about the rapid increase in development of automation, robots, whatever you want to call them. And a couple of months ago, there was a vote in, I don't know, Sweden or Switzerland, where, this automation is just, it's really accelerating, taking a lot of jobs. And the concept of the vote, which was defeated, but not by that much, was that anyone who was displaced by a automation, whatever you want to call it, a robot or something that does the job for you,
sure,
would get a government stipend per month.
Wow.
And I think the dollar amount that was floated was $2,500 a month for those people that were displaced. And, first you think, whoa, wait a minute, that is so ridiculous. That's another one of Obama's favorite countries, blah, blah, blah. I say that facetiously. But when you think about it, as this increases, 20 years from now, I know the job I used to do is almost gone now, but the concept, and when you think about it, is, whoa, wait a minute. If a robot is going to produce twice the amount of productivity that I used to do, why am I not compensated for that, for that production?
Yeah, you get your half of his productivity.
Right, or unless I'm an investor in that company, I'm not going to partake of that. I mean, I'm not advocating it, but it's a concept that I think will be seen shortly. One other quick thing, Paul.
Sure.
When Idaho was mentioned about going to the bowl here in Boise, it's always the Idaho famous potato bowl. When Boise State is mentioned about going to their bowl, Motel 6 is never mentioned. It's always the Cactus Bowl. It's a little something to think about. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. And right he is. The only people who put the Motel 6 in front of it are the national press.
Yep.
Yeah, because they've been trained
ESPN
to.
ESPN and everybody does that. Yeah,
they've been trained to pay those bills.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Virgil of Meridian. It's an Open Phones Friday. Virgil, good morning.
Hello. Hey, you were talking about 3D printing a little bit ago, right?
Yes.
And I thought you might be interested in what I know about that. I've got a son that is one of the premier researchers in that particular field.
Okay.
He travels all over the world speaking on it and has spent most of his career in that particular area. They actually can create parts out of materials that they've developed in that process. In fact, he's got patents on material that makes a better manufacturing electrode where you create parts that's stronger than any metal that was ever pre-existing to that, and it was built on a 3D printer. He also has a patent on material that will replace knees joints that is better than anything out there. The only problem is Obamacare has eliminated people investing in that particular deal, and so there is nobody interested in producing it. They're just sticking with the old stuff.
Now, isn't it true that they can also that they have organs that they can make artificial organs, basically? for the
Not
human
yet,
body?
They are working at that. I sat in my son's living room with the guy that was actually in researching that. He was one of the, and that was the field that he was going into back. This was a few years ago, two or three years ago probably. And, yes, they are researching that. They haven't actually got it done, but they're hoping to be able to do that, that they can actually 3D print that sort of thing. Now, they do print, say, like plastic models of a heart. They can take images of a baby's heart that's got defects in it.
Right.
And actually reproduce that so that the doctor can actually look at that plastic heart and know what he's going to see when he gets in there.
Wow.
They're actually doing that now. But back to your you were worried about whether or not you would want to fly on an airplane that had produced a part with a 3D printer. They actually can make parts that are stronger than any other materials that they are currently using now. It is very complicated, and those machines are very expensive. You can buy a $400 printer, but that just creates a cheap plastic toy, if you will.
Okay.
The ones that that would make the military grade material or the jet engine grade materials, those are expensive machines. You don't have those in your garage, I can tell you for sure.
All right, very good.
I have seen those in his lab back when he was working at. He's worked at a couple of different, maybe three different universities where they were leading researchers in that particular area. Those are massive machines and very, very, very expensive. And that technology is going on all over the world. It's very interesting to watch that, to watch somebody involved in that and just see it progress from year to year. But so don't worry about that. And the other thing that I was going to mention on that is that I don't think people should be worrying about automation, because what happens is it just allows us to buy more and more things. 3D printing may be what brings manufacturing back to our country in a massive way, and we will be able to make things that we will all want to buy. And so I think the economy will adapt and move to it, and people will have to run them. My children are all employed. They got good jobs, and it's all going to work out.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Virgil.
You know, if we get an economy, and I'm really pleased that it looks like we've got a pro-business government coming up that is going to allow business to expand, and 3D printing is just going to be part of that expansion.
All right, Virgil. Thanks.
Thanks, Virgil.
It.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I get what he's saying, but at the same time, if you can go to McDonald's and a robot is going to make all your stuff.
Yeah, who's working?
Then how is anybody who used to work at McDonald's making any money buy anything? So the economy is going to be stagnant or go down, I would think.
If they don't have money, they can't buy stuff.
Yeah.
And the one thing this tome I was reading said was that they're not going to be able to create new jobs fast enough to replace the jobs that are taken away by automation. That's going to be one of the big problems in front of this country and other countries in the next 100 years.
Yep.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
Now back to David and Paul J.
That's right.
670 KBOI.
Open phones Friday.
It is Open Phones Friday.
Yeah, got a lot of callers. Let's go. Cliff. My name's Cliff. Drop over sometime. Hi, Cliff. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
About the automation and stuff, where do the hackers fit into this? Are they going to have more opportunity to mess things up, or is the automation going to work against them? It's kind of like the old Mad Magazine, Spy versus Spy. There's going to be
all I will tell you, Cliff, is that every time that a government agency or somebody puts up a firewall, there's probably 10 people somewhere doing everything they can to get through that firewall, and it's an endless game of ping pong back and forth to see who can win. So with every advance in technology, You'll also then have an advance in hackology that will then preclude another advance in technology, which, so it's a perpetual motion machine, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be like the old Mad Magazine, Spy versus Spy.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, Cliff, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good day. And it's true, you know, for every time somebody gets hacked or something like that happens or an identity gets stolen, I just think if those people use their powers for good and not evil.
No question.
Think about how many great things could be accomplished in this country and the world.
Think how smart you have to be to get through those firewalls.
Exactly.
It's incredible. Let's go to John of Boise. John.
Hey, you're talking about all this technology.
Yeah.
Reminds me of my folks talking back in, I think it was around 59 or something like that, when they had these computers that took up a whole building.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were going to take over all the jobs. There'd be no jobs left in 10 years. Zero.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, I'm looking forward to a good Christmas and a beautiful New Year.
All right. Have a good Christmas, my friend, and a happy New Year. Be safe, please.
Thanks, Jim.
You too.
Thank you.
And you actually made a good point off the air that...
Did I?
Yeah. Remember you talked about the moon, how when we first went to the moon, everybody would... well, not everybody would be living there, but there would be
colonization. There'd be scientists and some colonies up there. Yeah. I mean, in 1969, everybody thought for sure there'd be colonies on the moon. And
by
scientists
the year 2000,
would be living up there. Yeah.
There'd be 100,000 people up there.
There were going to be flying cars and everything.
Yeah.
What do we got here?
Nothing.
A bunch of ground-pounding cars that can't drive through the snow.
Got nothing.
If I could fly to work, I wouldn't have to worry about the snow this morning.
That's right. Let's go to Pro-Life. Pro-Life, good morning.
Car.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about machines and technology replacing people so that there won't be enough jobs for people.
Right.
Well, if we were intelligent, what we would do is realize that we're being poisoned in our food by farm chemicals, and then we would all the extra people would go out and grow gardens and work on organic farms, because those have to be weeded mechanically or with hand labor, and then we'd all be healthier and happier and actually more prosperous.
There's a part of me, pro-life, that just thinks, though, that I'm not going to be able to make six figures weeding my own organic garden.
Yeah, I know. That's probably true. That's why I'm poor, but anyway...
And there's nothing. See, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with being poor. Everybody should live to the lifestyle they want to live in, and have a situation where they're like, hey, you know what? I want to live in a tiny house that's 400 square feet. I just want to live on a plot of land. I want to grow my own vegetables. I want to have chickens. Or if you're a billionaire and you want to live in a 7,000 square foot mansion, do that too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that all the stuff that Paul Jay was reading, it can't all go across all aspects of life, because then we're all weeding our own organic garden.
Well, but the problem is there's babies being born with cancer. I mean, it's really serious.
Sure.
We're going to kill ourselves with our chemicals, and so what good does it do with whether we make six figures or not? You know what I'm saying?
Well, but it's like, thanks for the call, Pro-Life. We appreciate it. It's like I said earlier, though, you've got a situation where, you know, Paul Jay was saying it's going to be 1 in 60,000 car crashes is going to cause a death. So it's going to increase the population by 1.5 million a year or whatever. I don't know that we need 10. I saw a stat the other day, 2025 or 2030, there's going to be 9 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't know that we need 9 billion people on the planet.
No. In fact, I can tell you we don't need 9 billion people on the planet.
Because it's just not sustainable.
And this whole thing is not sustainable because we'll have more people with less to do.
Yeah.
And with less money, basically. And we had a guy say, well, you could socialize them and give everybody a stipend. Well, where's that money going to come from if nobody's working?
Exactly. Because it's not going to come from tax dollars, because there's no money
to be made
working. For tax dollars.
There are very few people working.
It's one of those things to where technology is both our friend and our enemy.
Yes.
And everybody just needs to realize that the future that some people see is not a good business model. If you were going to start a business model that way, they would say no bank would give you money, because they'd say your business is going to fail terribly.
You got a lot of customers, but they don't have any money.
Exactly. They can't buy anything. Yeah. So what do you do then? I don't know what the answer is, except there's a delicate balance between humanity and technology.
And you always have to manage. I mean, you know, we're going to find cures for things, and people are going to live
sure.
longer. And that's already happened. I mean, that stuff is going to happen come hell or high water. But as far as replacing everything,
yeah.
and there are guys like you and I, we're not going to trust the computer to drive us to the grocery store.
No, there's
store.
No way. There's no way. Way.
And how's it going to find that parking place?
Yeah. And you know, you say there's going to be cures for everything, and I know that cancer rates, survivability is better than it was
yep.
in 1970, but no cancers have been cured in my lifetime.
No, not eradicated.
And not for as much money as is put into that tech, you know. I don't know what the answer is.
I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, the answer is we're back Monday. Question is, what are you doing this weekend?
Staying indoors. Something to think about with Mike Rogers, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
With weeks to go in his administration, the president gets one right. Though it took far too long, President Obama has made a very important distinction that will go a long way in fighting terrorism overseas. The Obama administration has finally added Al-Shabaab to the list of approved terrorist organizations affiliated with Al-Qaeda. This allows military, intelligence, and financial crackdown on an entire Al-Shabaab organization, not just its key leaders. Al-Shabaab in Somalia has pledged its loyalty to Al-Qaeda, openly considers the United States one of its enemies, and is responsible for multiple attacks and threats against U.S. citizens and interests in East Africa. They launched the major attack against the Westgate shopping mall in Kenya 3 years ago. 67 were killed, 175 wounded. Al-Shabaab also recruits and targets American-born Somalis in an effort to radicalize them into jihad. Better late than never. Follow me on Twitter at Rep. Mike Rogers. Something to think about